Welcome to Novo Ed Talks, where we reveal real-world strategies and expert insights from learning and development professionals. In every episode, we chat with practitioners, course designers, learning strategists, and business leads. We hear about their experiences in the learning industry and predictions for the profession and the trends that they're seeing. But before we get started, a little bit about NovoEd. Founded at Stanford's Social Algorithms Lab in 2012, NovoEd is a people-centric, capability-building platform that combines social and collaborative learning to drive performance readiness at scale. Through cohort-based experiences centered around human interaction, NovoEd taps into collective wisdom, placing each learner at the center of perspective, application, and expertise. Large enterprises such as 3M, GE, Marriott International, and Nestle partner with NovoEd to accelerate their critical initiatives, reconnect teams, and achieve rapid alignment through learning that is felt, experienced, and swiftly transformed into impact. Now, let's meet our guest for today's episode. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of NovoEd Talks, a place for training trailblazers to get real. I always have trouble with that. I'm Lynn Christensen-Esker of NovoEd, and today I'm joined by Tracy McMath, who's involved in learning design methodology at Salesforce, a Fortune 500 company which provides customer relationship management and sales SaaS tools and apps. Tracy is a productivity manager for Salesforce's product education content team and has been a Salesforce trailblazer, which is a member of the company's global community of innovators who use Salesforce since 2020. She's an avid and lifelong learner and is passionate about scale and quality in learning and development programs. And having talked with her, her enthusiasm for the profession is obvious. I think you're going to enjoy what she has to say. So Tracy, welcome to NovoEd Talks. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and your role in your company? And maybe you can kind of go into a little bit about what you mentioned to me before about embracing success as a journey.
Oh, great. Thanks so much for having me. Yes, I'm just really passionate about quality when it comes to learning. And so it's really exciting to be involved in how we do learning here at Salesforce. And, you know, we're just always looking to scale what we do because we have some really great, you know, education out there available. But of course, it's just like we never can get it to enough learners. There's more people wanting it. And so we're looking always for ways to do that. So that's kind of my passion, is to keep it high quality, but also like get it out to multiple people and keep it personalized so that, you know, it's designed for that particular audience. So even though the topic might be the same, the audience changes and we want to make sure that it's, you know, tailored towards them.
Who are your learners? And what are their biggest challenges?
Our learners are our customers, our internal folks who often are also working with our customers to, you know, teach them and train them about our products. And we also have Salesforce partners, and they're a big part of educating our customers as well. And so we have three main audiences, but of course the priority is always for everyone. They're learning to support the success of our customers. We have multiple products, and the more they know about how to use our product, the more value they get out of it, and then their business is then successful. So their success is what we're always looking towards when we're trying to educate and train. So that's always the focus.
What are the challenges involved in that? I mean, how do you go about addressing those?
Well, it's really about like getting the exact right learning at the right time to the right person, and to get in like bite-sized pieces, because everyone's so busy today. Nobody has time to sit down for like a long, lengthy training course. We also want to, as much as possible, kind of put the learning in the flow of work. Like if they're using our product and they're coming upon an issue, if they can learn about it right then and there when they need it, and they can learn it in a little brief way, but also engaging, and it solves their problem, they see the value of the training really quickly.
And how does your team identify and address skill gaps within the organization? How do you figure out what they are and then go about addressing those?
That's a great question. We have prioritization processes in place, and there's multiple layers that would take quite a while to tell you about, but we always start with what is the business need? Like, what are our customers needing? And what can we do? What pieces can we give them that will help them to be able to use our products in the best way to solve their business problems so that their businesses are a success. And so that's always the driving factor. And we start with that and we trickle down and we talk with experts in the field with product, but we also talk with business people, marketing, like everybody involved to kind of give us what is the most important thing that people need to know right now for them to be successful. And so that's how we determine what it is. And we, do a lot of research to see where those skill gaps are and where we need to fill them. And then that's how we prioritize what we're going to move on first and most quickly.
I'm sure you have all kinds of great anecdotes and stories about, how you've accomplished this. Do you have any success stories that you can share with the audience? Maybe tell us, how you approach them.
We've really found that partnering learning designers, instructional designers on projects that have complementary skills. Not everybody is an expert in every area. Some people just tend to be more passionate or just more skilled in certain areas. Your experiences might have been different. And so when we staff a project for learning, we try to pick people who have those different skill sets so that when they partner, they not only develop a really high quality learning experience, they also grow each other. Then moving forward, each of them increases their own skill set so that their own personal growth, is there. But also, it's more value, they're more valuable as employees for us developing learning in the future because as they're learning more, they can apply those skills and, it's good for everybody.
And how do you measure success? How do you measure the effectiveness of your programs? And what are some of the core KPIs that you might have to come up with for your supervisors or anybody else in the
That's a
company?
great question. Whereas years ago, we would look at enrollments and it's like, well, people enroll, but they don't necessarily complete. And so then we started looking at enrollments and completions. But again, it's pretty, you're still not measuring that much. You're not getting to know that much. And when we go back to what I've talked about several times about customer success and that being our end goal, is it impacting that? So that's what we really try to look towards because that's our measure of success. Like the purpose of our learning was that accomplished. And so we do several things. Of course, we do a CSAT, a survey after the learning, of course, to get some feedback and help us improve and see how the experience was. We do a Net Promoter Skill score so that we can see, is this something that this learning experience, was it something that this learner would recommend to another? Because if it was valuable to them, then they would recommend it to someone else. And obviously, that's something we would like to do is more people benefit from the learning.
So as the workplace continues to evolve, how do you see the future of L&D? What trends or emerging technologies or anything else do you believe will shape the way organizations invest in their employee growth?
I mean, everyone's talking AI, even companies that aren't tech companies. So that's definitely something that's going to come into play. There's thought patterns about this. Some people are like, wow, this is so exciting. They're embracing this AI. And in that can be a good thing, but it also has to be a very careful thing because we can't embrace it without thinking about all the impacts and being very careful. And trust is really important at Salesforce. And so we have been, I think, one of the leaders in AI, but we're being very careful about it. Because trust is so important to us. And we have seen and, could have called it that some companies really rushed in and you're seeing some negative impacts out there about what has happened when people aren't really careful about how they use AI. And it's all about the data and how you train it. And we understand that. And so we're being very careful about it. So I guess I'm really proud that we have that and that understanding for employees. I think that when you're talking to an individual, it can be a little scary, like, oh, is AI going to replace me? I think the important thing to remember there is AI is not creative. It doesn't have vision. And those are important things to understand about it. Like, it only can do what we've taught it to do. Now, it can use all that information to come up with things a lot faster, but it's not really creative about it. It only can do what we've taught it to do. So it's all about what data we provide. And that's super important. So if you haven't heard about Data Cloud, get out there because that's like super important when it comes to AI. So I think that's what we need to keep in mind. It can make employees more productive because a lot of the tasks that they do don't require that creative vision type thing. And it doesn't replace like quality efforts. Anything it creates, you still have to go and put a human's creative eyes and thoughts on it to make sure that it's what you were looking for with learning, but also with like development, all kinds of things. Like there's nothing out there that you can just let AI do without human intervention. We need to keep it in perspective. We can use it for things like in learning design, research. It's a great tool for research. It's a great tool for, hey, let me see what kind of summary this comes up with. That's pretty good. But as a writer, I'm still going to put my print on it.
I'm curious as to I have a friend who also is an LND, and sometimes she's had years of experience, looks back and wonders how younger people coming into the profession are dealing with AI. It seems like they're almost kind of coming up into the middle, but they still need those foundational things, and they might not get them as easily having not had to work through them. Is that, I'm just curious, like, is that something that you've thought about, or?
It's not something that I've really witnessed being a problem, I guess, but it is an interesting thing to consider because when you haven't really had to work through all of those thoughts in your own brain, I wonder if that impacts how you think about it in this modern day with all of these tools. That's a great question that I'd love to explore.
Yeah, exactly. Well, as a fun send-off, I'd love to get your advice. Speaking of younger people coming into the profession, or just people coming into the profession in general, what advice might you give to somebody just stepping into a L&D leadership role?
As far as a leadership role, I mean, I keep this quote in my office back from like beginning education, is success is the strongest component of motivation. And so I think we really need to keep in mind making people successful. So anybody that's leading people, when they're, people are being added to their team, people are on their team, they need to really seek ways to make everybody on the team very successful. So if that means, finding their strengths and putting them on projects where they get to utilize those and really highlight those strengths for that person so that they can grow their own career, then of course that helps grow skills on your team for someone who has not maybe not a strong area in that skill. I think giving them opportunities to do something they're passionate about, they're going to be more motivated to do an excellent job and giving them opportunities to stretch themselves. Like, if they're really passionate about this, but maybe they're not maybe as highly skilled as you would want them to be in this area, go ahead and give them a chance because that's how we grow and that's how we learn. I think it's important and it's so exciting when you get to see the success of other people when they first start and then a year or so down the road when you see where they have come, that's pretty satisfying. And that motivates me. So I would think that would motivate other leaders as well. And then it only helps the whole company just being positive and helping other people.
That's really the essence of learning and development at work anyway, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Tracy, thank you so much. This has been amazing. You've had some great insights, and thank you for joining us today. And thanks to everyone else for joining us in this episode. See you next time on the Novo Ed Talks podcast. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.